Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, we've spoken many times on this show about life and indeed leadership, but the skills involved to be a great leader, what are they? We may have ignored the one word that all leaders have, power. How we use that power and how we feel about using that power is often not talked about in polite conversation. My next guest's new book hopes to have that conversation in order to make leaders aware of how to use and not abuse their power. It's great to welcome Nick Kinley. He's the author of The Power Trap, How Leadership Changes People and What to Do About It to the show. Good morning to you, Nick. Sorry about that long intro, but I was trying to give it our discussion on power just a little bit of background. Good to have you with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on, and thanks very much for the intro.
Now, the first thing I want to ask you about power is, does it change people?
Yes.
Right.
Always. And I think one of the challenges that we've got is that we tend to think about power as something that people like Elon Musk have or Donald Trump have. Heaven help us. But it's actually something that almost everyone who has influence or is a manager has. So, I mean, if you're an Instagram influencer, you've got power of some sort. If you're the CEO of a company, you've got power of some sort. If you're the head of a household, you've got power of some sort. And it always, always affects you.
Yeah. And we don't talk about power. Sure, we don't.
No. No, and I think that's because power's got a very bad reputation, right? And given how some people seem to use it, that's probably why. I mean, when we see power in the media, it's always because someone's abused it, right? It's always because someone's done something bad with it. And there's that, you know, there's old sayings about how power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And in many ways, it's easier for me to talk about it's a probably more socially acceptable for me to say I like Donald Trump than it is for me to say I like power. I love I absolutely love having power. It's great, and yet that's in a way kind of weird. It's because it's an essential part of leadership. You can't lead unless you've got some authority or influence or control. And so because we don't talk about it, we don't really understand it.
Yeah. And so should a leader then be kind of sense-checking himself or herself, you know, about where they are on the power trip?
Yeah, so it's actually, I think, quite difficult to see it within ourselves. And it's probably easier to see it in the impact that it has on other people and how other people are behaving around us. And there's that old thing, you should judge people by the way, you know, by the company that they keep, right? So, for example, one of the things that power does, and you've got no choice about this, you've got it just happens to you the moment you get given power, is that it creates a gap. It creates some distance between you and the people you lead. And they will stop being as open with you. I mean, it may not be by a lot. It may just be by a little. But some of that is about you and how you behave. Some is about them and their personality and how they feel about authority. But it's actually quite corrosive, and it's always there. I mean, no one's ever completely open. The old joke is that you know if you ever meet anyone who's completely open, then they're probably unemployed, single, and friendless, right? We all kind of tailor what we say, and you certainly do that with your boss. So it's people start holding back what they're saying to us, and that undermines the information that we hear. So I mean, let's take Trump again, right? Because he's a nice, easy example for us. In Donald Trump this week, you can see someone who is surrounded by sycophants, surrounded by people who are ingratiating towards him. And I don't have a lot of confidence that they'd turn around and say, hey, Don, this isn't the best idea ever.
Because they'd lose their job. They'd lose their job.
Right?
That's the way he works
us. Yeah, and that is precisely the way that he wants it, and it is, you know, and that's a situation that he helps create, but it also undermines him.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult to make good decisions. Now, it's now that distance that exists between you and the people around you, I mean, there's some other things that then come off the back of that. So there's an awful lot of research showing that leaders and, in fact, power holders, well, the research says less empathetic. A precise thing is that they are less accurate in their ability to understand other people's perspectives. So if you say to them, how is X feeling? How is this person feeling? They're less accurate in how they judge it. And that's partially a result of the distance, right? People aren't being as open with them. Of course, they're going to be less able to kind of judge how other people are feeling.
Yeah.
Because you're just looking at the world in a different perspective, right? It's the other thing that comes out of it is that leaders tend to be more led, people with power tend to be more led by their internal states. So because they're distanced, because people are being less open with them, because you've got this bit of their gap, they're more led by their own emotions, their own instincts, what they believe, what they want.
Yeah.
And so that's why they often say that power reveals what is within inside people, because people with power tend to be more led, more informed, more driven in how they act by what they feel and what they want.
Is there something, Nick, around society and corporate structure and stuff like that that enables power? In other words, if you look at the traditional role of a CEO or chief executive, and even, you know, the sort of quietly what goes with that, like the structures of things sort of facilitate power.
Yeah, absolutely. So the moment that I have control over your salary and your money and your income, it gives an extra edge to my power, right? Extra weight to it. I can exit you from your job. I can sack you from your job. I can remove your income. I mean, that's actually, and if you've got a young family to support, if times are hard, if there's not many jobs, I mean, that gives me tremendous power over your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the structure of modern corporates do indeed reinforce what power does to people. And in actual fact, it's got a lot worse over the years. So in the research that we did, one of the reasons that we did it is that we had this sense that things were getting worse, and they are. In the 1980s and the 1990s, there was massive delayering that happened within companies. You know, as organizations looked for efficiencies, they got rid of layers and layers of middle managers and people. And I can remember working for BP once, right, the oil company, and the cry there was bigger people for bigger jobs, which was just an excuse really to get rid of a whole load of people, right? But what that, so you've got leaders who are working longer hours, who are more stressed, who are more under pressure. And in that kind of, and probably are more afraid for their jobs too, because jobs are less secure than they used to be. And in that kind of situation, what happens to leaders is that they tend to rely, well, more on their instincts, right? More on what they believe. They tend to act quicker. They've got less time to think about, what is my impact? How are people being? Is someone being completely open with me?
Yeah.
And so that in many ways, the modern corporate environment is an absolute worst case scenario for power.
So are we paying lip service to all this employee love that you're seeing in companies now, where, you know, it's all about how the employee is feeling and, you know, making sure that they don't leave because there's better jobs, there's working from home, or there's all these other things? So I would have thought that the sentiment around employee, employer has probably softened, which sort of goes against what you're saying.
That it's got a double edge to it. So the first thing to say is that absolutely there is a greater sense these days on employee engagement, right? And leaders are expected to be less directive and more kind of inspiring and all of that thing, right? So and in many ways that actually makes their job harder.
Yeah.
In the old fashioned kind of sense, when power was, Bobby, I want you to go do this, go do it. Nice and simple, right? I've got authority. But these days, I'm expected to motivate you. I'm expected to coach you. I'm expected to make you feel good about what you're doing. So I actually have to, it's actually harder for me to use my power. So I have to work harder for it.
Yeah.
In terms of the employee love and all of that kind of thing, that very much came about as a reaction to all of the delayering. So what happened in the 1980s and 1990s is when they cut through all these layers of jobs is, lo and behold, that did hit employee engagement. That did hit employee commitment because companies effectively broke the old psychological contract between companies and people in which the idea was, well, you got a job for life, right? You work really hard. And in many ways, breaking that old contract was, some would say, necessary, some would say useful. But the impact was that people turned around and went, well, okay then. If that's the way you want it, you know, I'll go off and see if I can get more money elsewhere. And so people started moving between jobs more. And so companies had to work harder to keep people.
Yeah.
And so that's why an awful lot of that stuff came out. The problem is that so much of it these days sounds like, I think the technical phrase is corporate BS. Now, there are some very, very good companies out there who genuinely care about their people and genuinely invest an awful lot in them, no doubt about it. But there's an equal number out there who will say one thing, and then the millisecond their shareholders' profits are being affected, will it?
It's sort of a greenwashing of employees, isn't it? Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Look, I'm sorry we don't have more time to talk, Nick, because it's a fascinating subject. Your book is The Power Trap, How Leadership Changes People and what to Do About It. It's well worth a read, guys. So thank you this morning for joining us. Nick Kinley, the author, thank you.
Bobby, thanks very much indeed.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.